You know, if you were going to go and to visit a place, you had never been there before, just wanted to know a little bit about it before you got there, just so you could prepare yourself for when you arrived, would there be certain people that you might ask about it before you go? Be certain people that you know they've been there before. Hey, I know you've been there. What do you recommend? What did you see? What do you think? What do you think that we should do? You know, my parents, I think probably their favorite place on earth is Glacier National Park out in northwest Montana. My guess is they've been there about 20 times in the last 40, 50 years. If I was going back to Glacier, and I didn't realize till just this morning, it's been over 30 years since I've been there, but if I was going back to Glacier, I'd probably ask my parents, what do you think I ought to see? Where should I go? You see, you ask somebody who's been there, and they know where to point you. But that's for people who vacation, right? I mean, and you can do that anywhere. You know, somebody's vacationed somewhere, they can tell you what they've seen and what they've done, but wouldn't it be better to ask somebody who's actually lived in that place? Not just somebody who goes there occasionally, somebody who actually stayed there and lived there. You know, if I was going to go to Wylie, Texas, if I was moving to Wylie, Texas, there's some people I might ask, you know, where should we go? Where should we look? What neighborhood should we look in when we go to Wylie? You know, because somebody I know who's lived there before. If I was moving to El Salvador, I might call somebody who's lived in El Salvador and say, okay, where should I go? You know, somebody who lives in Eustis. You know anybody who lives in the little, you ever been to Eustis? You got to mean to go to Eustis if you're going to Eustis. But you call somebody and say, hey, you know, I'm moving to Eustis. What do you recommend? You ask somebody who's there, who's been there, and can describe it all to you and tell you everything that you need to know. If you were going to go to heaven, who would you want to ask about what to expect? Who do you think would be the authority who could tell you everything that you ought to know about heaven when you get there? This morning I want us to talk about heaven because that's what we're talking about this month in our effort to see things the way God sees things. We're talking about heaven this month. But this morning I want us to look at heaven and to see heaven through the eyes of Jesus. You think Jesus knows anything about heaven? Do you think Jesus can tell us anything about heaven? You think He can tell us what to expect? Tell us how to get there? This morning we're going to kind of anchor our thoughts from John chapter 14, and so you might turn your Bibles to John chapter 14 and we'll kind of anchor our thoughts there, but we're going to let that anchor out a few times as we go through this and just look at some passages, but only in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's all we're going to be this morning, is just looking at passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and let Jesus tell us about heaven. Jesus hadn't vacationed there. He hadn't been there a few times. Jesus can tell us about heaven because He's been there forever. He took a temporary leave of absence to come down here. But if there's anybody who can tell us something for us to know, it'd be Jesus. So I just want us to see three things from John chapter 14 this morning that Jesus sees when He sees heaven. And there's some things that we need to see when we see heaven. The first thing we're going to see is that when Jesus looks at heaven, Jesus sees a heavenly home. Think about what Jesus sees when He looks at heaven. When Jesus looks at heaven, He sees a place that is the Father's home. Look in John chapter 14. What does He say in verse 2? John chapter 14 and verse 2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house." He's describing for us. He's not just describing a place for us. He's describing His Father's home to us. Could you do that? Could you describe the home where you grew up? Do you have memories of the, and some of you lived in multiple homes. Can you picture right now the home where you were when you were a child? Can you picture your bedroom? Could you describe it to somebody? That was your father's home. That was your mother's home. Jesus saying, let me tell you about my Father's home. And throughout the talks of Jesus, He would talk about His Father, His heavenly Father, how His Father was in heaven. It's His Father's home. But it's not just His Father's home. He sees a home that belongs to Him. It's Jesus' home. It's interesting as you read, especially through the Gospel that John wrote. How many times, more than a couple dozen times, you read about Jesus saying how he had come down from heaven, how he had come down from above, how he had come down from the Father. He talks about the place that used to be his home, and he says, I've come down from there. And then not as many, but almost as many, he talked about the time when he would go back to the Father. He talked about where he had come from, that was his home, and how when he left, in John 6, verse 62, he says, I'm going back to where I was before. He's going back to his home. Same place that he had been for all of eternity would be the place that he was going to return. He was going back, he would say, especially in those latter chapters, going back to his Father. Jesus sees heaven. He sees Father, his Father's home. He sees his home. And he sees a place that he longs for it to be our home. What does he say in chapter 14 and verse 2? In my Father's house are many mansions, King James and New King James say. New American Standard, ESV, American Standard probably has a better translation there. In my Father's house are many rooms. How many rooms did the house have that you grew up in? Is it a one-bedroom place? Zero-bedroom place? Two-bedroom place? Did you have your own bedroom? Thanks be to God, I grew up with three sisters, and my mom and dad let me have my own bedroom. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And that was one of them. How many rooms did the house that you grew up have? Jesus says, let me tell you about my Father's house. There's many rooms. And there's room. What does he say? In my Father's house are many, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. Look in verse 2. I want you to see the last two words of verse 2. I go to prepare a place. What's the last two words? I go to prepare a place for you. He says there's room for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. There's enough room for you. And he bids us to come there. What Jesus longs for is for us to be in heaven with him. He longs for us to be at home with him. Verse 3 says, verse 2 says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. And verse 3 says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. What does he say? And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can you picture that time? Not just when you are in heaven, but when you are in heaven with Jesus. That's what he longs for us to do. He longs for us, John chapter 13, verse 36, he longs for us to follow him there. He longs for us to hear that invitation on the day of judgment in Matthew 25, verse 34, when he says that first word, come. When he invites you into his home, he longs for you to be there. And in the Lord's Prayer, not in the prayer that he talked about, pray like this in Matthew 6, but in the true Lord's Prayer of John chapter 17, where this whole chapter he's talking to his Father. He prays for us. He prays for his apostles, and he prays for us. And in John 17, verse 24, he says, Father, I pray that they may come, that they may be with us there, but then he says that they may behold my glory. When you think about heaven, what do you think about? When you think about going to heaven, what do you think about? What do you think about seeing? Do you think about Jesus? Do you think about being with Jesus? Do you think about beholding the glory of the Son of God right there in person? This morning, can you say for certain that heaven is your home? When Jesus saw heaven, he didn't just see some place. When Jesus looked at heaven, he didn't just talk about some place that he had read about in a book. Jesus saw a heavenly home. And he longs for us to be there with him. Do you long to be there with him? Do you know this morning that it's your home. Not just some place to go on a vacation. That it's your home. When Jesus saw heaven, He saw a heavenly home. But in John chapter 14, He didn't just see a heavenly home. Jesus saw a prepared place. And that's what He says twice. In verse 2 and in verse 3, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And on the day of judgment, what is He going to say in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34? Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Heaven is a special place. It is a place that has been prepared. What kind of place is it? The Bible describes heaven as a place that is of eternity. That it always has been and it always will be. And Jesus described that place for us as an eternal reward. Remember what He said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12? Rejoice, those who are being persecuted, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is what? Your reward in heaven. Heaven is a place of eternal reward. Will it be your place of eternal reward? Is it that place where you have laid up treasures? Jesus warned us about laying up treasures on the earth. And He said, don't lay up treasures on the earth. Those kind of treasures are going to perish. But He bid us in Matthew 6 and verse 20 to lay up treasures in heaven. Those kind of treasures don't perish. Do you have any treasures on this earth that have perished? How's your car today? You know, I've been amazed by Johnny Davis's car. Johnny bought that car when he retired from Pratt & Whitney 50 years ago. And it's still running today. This man knows how to maintain a car. He drove the same car all the years he worked at Pratt & Whitney. At least that's what I thought. I saw that same car for 100 years when Johnny was driving it. But I'm sure there's something about Johnny's Toyota that's not quite as nice as it was when he first drove it off the lot. Do you have some earthly possessions that are not quite as nice? When you get to heaven, it's an eternal reward that will be better the longer you're there. It's not going to fade. It's not going to pass away. It is a reward that as we labor on this earth, when we get there, we will say, heaven is surely worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life, with what? All of its strife, Jimmy, heaven will surely be worth it all. An eternal reward where we have laid up our treasures. But as you look at what Jesus talks about throughout Scripture, He talks about this place being an eternal inheritance. Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. What do you have to do in order to inherit this kingdom? What do you have to do in order to inherit something? You've got to be a child of God in order to inherit this kingdom. And once you have this inheritance, it is something that you will enjoy for all of eternity. The Bible, Jesus, describes this place as eternal salvation. He talks about those who would lose their life. He says, blessed are those who lose their life for My sake and for the gospel's sake, Mark 6 and verse 35. If you lose your life for His sake, for the gospel's sake, Jesus says your life will be saved for all of eternity. There's a man-made doctrine. There's a man-made doctrine. Hear me. There's a man-made doctrine on this earth that says once you're saved, you're always saved. That's not a Bible doctrine. That's a man-made doctrine. On this earth, the Bible says, "Take heed to him who stands, take heed lest he fall," 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. The Bible says that it is possible for me to be saved on this earth, but to lose my salvation, the last three verses of 2 Peter chapter 2 say. But here's where the doctrine of once saved, always saved is true. In heaven. Not on this earth. On this earth, you can fall away from the Lord and lose your salvation. But in heaven, once you're there, you're always there. Once you're saved and enjoying the blessing of heaven, you are always going to enjoy it. Heaven is a place of eternal comfort. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus didn't describe heaven. He described the Hadean realm. He described paradise, where the souls of those who have passed from this life go. And he described that place of paradise where the righteous go when they pass from this life and before the judgment day and before heaven. But even in that place of paradise, the Bible says that those who are there are being comforted. If that's true of paradise, a temporary dwelling place of souls, what does that say about heaven? If they're receiving temporary comfort there in paradise, what about heaven? No tears in heaven. No sorrows given. All will be glory in that land because it is a place not of some comfort, not of temporary comfort, but of eternal comfort. It is a place of eternal joy. Remember what Jesus said? He said it to the 5-talent man. He said it to the 2-talent man. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What does he say? Enter into the joy of your Lord. Think about that expression. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Don't just enter into the joy of heaven. There will be joy there. But enter into the joy of your Lord. What does that mean? It brings the Lord joy to give it. It brings the Lord joy to bring you in. It brought the Lord joy to prepare this place for you so that you could come into it. Enter into the joy of your Lord. When in your life have you experienced the most joy? When have you had those times in your life that you had the greatest joy, greater joy than you've ever had before? I think of kids' faces when they first walk into Disney World. Hello. Their faces are covered with joy. Their expressions, they are taking it all in. They are on sensory overload when they go into Disney World. The sights, the sounds, the smells, everything that's there. And they are full of joy from the time they go in and from to the time that they leave. We had a rule when we took our kids to Disney. We had one rule. There was one rule that we had for our kids when we went to Disney. From the youngest, from the very youngest when we took them until the, and up until the, and of course when they got older, the rule didn't matter. But the very youngest, we had one rule when we went to Disney. You know what it was? There's no fussing at Disney. That was the rule. We'd pay big bucks to be here. We're not going to pay big bucks for you to throw a hissy fit. There's no fussing at Disney. So sometimes we'd be sitting there having something to eat. There'd be some kid over here just screaming his head off. And our girls would look at us and say, they don't know the rule. It was true. They didn't know the rule. The rule is there's no fussing at Disney. You walk in and this is the happiest place on earth. Disney doesn't hold a candle to heaven. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You will enter into a realm where you will be on sensory overload for all of eternity. The sights, the sounds, the smells, everything that's going to be there. Think about the eternal joy of being in heaven. Think about the fact that the Bible calls this place a place of eternal life, not eternal existence. Guess what? People in hell are going to be, they will be having an eternal existence. They are not going to be, they are not going to be annihilated. Their existence is not going to cease. People in hell will be experiencing an eternal existence. But people in heaven, it's not just an eternal existence like you're always going to be there. It's eternal life. You are always alive. Your body does not wear out. Your body does not get tired. Your body does not have aches and creeps and moans, and you wake up every morning in heaven, you're like, wow, this is getting worse. No, you have eternal life. Jesus says the righteous will go into eternal, everlasting life, Matthew 25 and verse 46, a place where he describes where you will never perish. Think about that. You will never perish. Where the Bible says you will never die, John 6 and verse 51. You go there to be with Jesus and to live forever and ever and ever. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This morning, do you know that this place has been prepared for you? Do you know that when Jesus comes, that He will take you unto Himself and that He will take you to heaven with Him? I want to add one more line here, and we don't have time to develop this, but there is a doctrine going around in the church that is as materialistic and is as finite and limited in its concept as any doctrine I've ever heard. And the doctrine is that when Jesus comes back and there's the judgment, that heaven is going to be on a renovated earth. That God is going to renovate the earth, and this is where we will spend all of eternity. The Bible does not teach that. Heaven is a very different place than earth. And to say that heaven is going to be on earth is so finite and limited in its concept, so materialistic in its concept. Oh, this is, no. Jesus came down from heaven. He went back to heaven, and that's where He wants to take us, to heaven with Him. We pray to our Father who art in heaven. Where is He? In heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. Oh, those are two different places. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Two different places. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, I bid you, do not swear. Don't swear by heaven, which is the Father's throne, and don't swear by earth, which is His footstool. What is that? They're two different places. What you've seen on earth will not prepare you for what you will experience in heaven. It truly is a prepared place. But what Jesus spent more time talking about when it comes to heaven, what Jesus shared with us more than anything else, He talked about heaven being a heavenly home, and He talked about that a lot. He talked about heaven being a prepared place, and He talked about that a lot. But what Jesus talked about more than anything else when it came to talking about heaven is when He tells us about the exclusive entrance in order to get into heaven. Jesus warns us. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will read warning after warning after warning that heaven is a place that can be missed. Go and ask those five foolish virgins who were not prepared. What happened? They missed heaven. Go and ask that one talent man who did not serve his master and did not use that which the master had given him to further the master's cause, and instead buried his talent in the ground, and go ask him. He missed heaven. Heaven is a place that can be missed. Do you want to miss heaven? There's a lot of things you could miss on this earth. There's a lot of places that maybe it's not a big deal if we miss them, if we ever get there. But for all of eternity, there is nothing more important than to make sure that we don't miss heaven. When Jesus talked about that entrance into heaven, Jesus wanted us to know that the path that goes to heaven has limited access. Don't you think about this? Jesus said that path that goes into heaven has limited access. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14, when Jesus is talking about this path that goes to heaven, He describes it as narrow and difficult. Here's a path that goes to heaven that Jesus says is not the easiest path to go on. That's why most people miss it. It's because it's narrow, it's difficult, it's limited on those who traverse this path. But even more expressive than Matthew 7 and verse 14 is Luke's parallel of that. Luke's parallel of that statement over in Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. Not only does Jesus say, strive to enter in by the narrow gate, He goes on at the end of Luke chapter 13 and verse 24 and He says, many, Look at Luke 13, 24. Many will seek to enter thereby, but they will not be able to. What? Many will seek to go into heaven, but they won't be able to? Yes. Heaven can be missed. Because there are individuals, in that parallel of Matthew chapter 7, there's many who will come to him in Matthew 7, verse 22. Many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? Lord, we've done all of this for you. And what does Jesus say to them in Matthew 7, verse 23? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. Why? Because heaven's path is limited, is narrow, is difficult. And you must be seeking it. You must be striving with all that you can to find it. And we've got to get into God's Word and make sure that it and it alone is our guide. So what does Jesus say in John 14, the passage we're looking at this morning? John chapter 14, verse 4. Jesus describes for us the very specific path, the very singular path that goes to heaven. He says, where I go, you know, and the way. You know, what's the word before way in John 14, verse 4? What's that three-letter word in front of the word way in John 14, verse 4? The. There's only one of these. The way, you know. And so in verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. What are you saying comes to the Father, Jesus? Oh, what's heaven? The heavenly home. What's heaven? The Father's home. No one comes to the Father in His home, in His house, verse 2, but by me. The path to heaven is very specific. The path to heaven is singular. The path to heaven can only be found through Jesus Christ. There's no other path. No other door in order to be able to enter into heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but through me. Could you get to heaven through Muhammad? Could you get there to heaven through Muhammad? No, that's not Jesus Christ. Could you get to heaven through the Pope? Could you get to heaven through the Pope? No, he's not Jesus Christ. Jesus says, only through me can you get to heaven. Only through me can you get to the Father. Could I get to heaven if I was not a part of the body of Jesus? Could I get to heaven if I'm not a part of His body? You're only going to the Father through me. Does that include His body? What? If it doesn't include His body, then what does it include? It has to include His body. What is His body? His church. For those who want to separate Jesus from His church and say, well, I'll take Jesus and I'll get to heaven through Jesus, but I don't need the church, totally misunderstand what the Bible teaches. Jesus says, only through me. That's my body. That's my church. That's through what I teach. That's the only way that individuals get to heaven. And so Jesus talked about getting to heaven as being a door. He talked about that door leading to heaven. And I don't put these next set of verses up here in order for you to copy all of them. But I found it interesting that 12 times, that's how many verses you got here. You don't have to write them all down. You can just write down 12 times. 12 times Jesus uses the word enter to talk about going to heaven. 12 times. Did you enter? You need to enter. Here are those who enter. Enter, enter. And as you read that 12 times, what does that indicate to you? That you are either in heaven or you are out of heaven. That's what the word enter means. You can walk all the way up to those entrance doors out there, and you can be standing outside, you can be looking in the doors, you can be tapping on the door, you can do it, but are you inside? No, you're still outside. You're right there, you're on the verge. You can even have somebody have the door open for you. Oh, thank you. And they open the door for you, and you start to walk through the door. But when you're just standing there, are you inside? Jesus uses the word enter 12 times to say there's a difference between being inside and being outside. We've got to enter through that door that Jesus has opened in order to enter into heaven, because what did those five foolish virgins learn? Matthew 25 and verse 10. One of the most sobering passages when you think about it. Five foolish virgins came back. And the last part of Matthew 25 and verse 10 says, the door was shut. And when the door to heaven is shut, it is shut eternally. It will not be opened again. That's why Jesus a dozen times bid us to enter. Because once that is closed, you are either inside or you are outside, and there is no changing it. That Hadean realm where you have paradise where the righteous have gone and you've got torment where the unrighteous have gone, that was described in Luke 16 verse 26 as having the great gulf fixed between them and none could traverse from one side to the other. Same thing in eternity. Once you're inside, you're not going anywhere. But if you're on the outside and that door is shut, it's too late. Jesus talked to us about that exclusive entrance. He said you got to look for it. He said there's not many people who are going to find it. He said there's only one path to heaven. Don't believe anybody who says anything different. But you've got to do all you can to enter and to be on the inside when that door is shut. So Jesus, tell me, what do I need to do? Jesus, I don't want to listen to somebody else. I don't want to listen to some man. I want to listen to Jesus, the one who came from heaven and then went back to heaven. I want Him to tell me, how do I get to heaven? Jesus would tell us, number one, that going to heaven requires that I strive to get there. I've got to be determined to go to heaven. I'm not accidentally going to end up there. I've got to, and that's why Luke 13 verse 24 says, strive to enter. The Greek word there means to agonize, to work. This requires effort on our part. In order to get to heaven, we've got to hear what Jesus says, John 5 and verse 24. I've got to understand that it is His message. I've got to come to His message. Okay, what is the message that Jesus, I've got to hear it. And then the rest of that verse in John 5, verse 24 says, then I need to believe it. Once I've heard what He says, then I need to believe what He says. Am I ready to go into heaven? Am I ready to enter heaven once I've heard Him and once I've believed? If I'm ready to go to heaven, then I've missed the rest of what Jesus says. Jesus says, it's only those who come to Me who will enter into eternal life. I can hear Him and believe Him all day. But if I don't come to Jesus, I'm not going to go to heaven. How do I come to Jesus? What is there that I need to do in order to come to Jesus? Jesus tells us that coming to Him involves entering into an intimate relationship with Him and the Father. Well, how do we know that? That's what He prayed for in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, He prayed that we might know, K-N-O-W, know the Father and know the Son. That's not talking about intellectual knowledge. That's talking about the way the Bible uses the word K-N-O-W. The word know is to come into a close relationship with them. How do I do that? I do that by not only hearing and not only believing, but doing what He says. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, isn't that enough? I've heard Him. I've believed Him. I've even confessed Him. Lord, Lord, isn't that enough? No, not everybody who says that will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, Jesus, who's going to enter the kingdom of heaven? He who does the will of My Father in heaven. I've got to hear what He says. I've got to believe what He says. And I have to do what He says in order to enter into heaven. Doing what He says involves being born again. Again, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 3 and in verse 5, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's not even going to be able to walk up and peer through the door. In verse 5, He says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, He cannot enter. There's one of the 12 times he uses that word. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. I cannot go to heaven unless I have been born of water and the Spirit. I cannot enter into heaven unless I have been baptized into Christ. That's what being born again, that's what born of water and the Spirit is all about. And once I have been baptized, the words of Jesus tell me that I need to be a good and faithful servant. Who's going to enter into heaven? Come. Who's going to enter into heaven? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I've got to be one who not only hears Him, not only believes what I'm being told, not only says, yeah, I think that's right, and not only just is baptized into Christ, I must be one who will follow Him faithfully, serve Him faithfully. It's an interesting verse back in John chapter 12 and verse 26, where Jesus says, John 12 and verse 26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Sounds a lot like John 14, doesn't it? Where I am, there my servant will be also. Who's going to be with Jesus in heaven? Those who have been His servants here on earth. And Jesus talked about that exclusive entrance into heaven. In Luke 10 and verse 20, Jesus would have us to know that only those who have their names written in heaven will one day enter into heaven. As you look at this screen this morning, as you recognize that Jesus saw a heavenly home, a prepared place, and the exclusive entrance to get there, do you know for certain this morning that heaven is a prepared place for you and that it will be your heavenly home? The only way you can know that is if you have entered the exclusive path that Jesus talks about. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? Have you, Luke 13 and verse 3, the words of Jesus, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Have you repented? Turned away from sin? Have you, the words of Jesus, Matthew 10 and verse 32, he who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven. Have you confessed your faith in Jesus? Have you, the words of Jesus, Mark 16 and verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Then and only then are you added by the Lord to His family, to His body, to the body of Jesus, which is the only pathway to the Lord, to the Father, John 14 and verse 6. Only then is your name registered in heaven. Hebrews 12 verse 23 says, only those who are in the church of the firstborn have their names registered in heaven. Jesus said, only those who are registered in heaven will enter into heaven. Do you know this morning that your name is written in the book of life? Heaven is waiting for you. Jesus is waiting for you. God is waiting for you. God is calling you this morning. The song we're going to sing says, come without delay. I don't know about you, but after this last week, I don't want anything more than to go to heaven. I don't know about you, but after this last week, this earthly life is getting less and less appealing. I don't know about you, but after this last week, the things of this earth have become even more temporary, have become even more worthless. I don't know about you, but after this last week, heaven is calling just a little bit more. Heaven, a place where we won't have to deal with all of this stuff that we've had to deal with in this last week. Are you ready? Do you know you're going? Are you ready, and do you know you're going to see Jesus? If not, come without delay right now as together we stand and sing.